Hello, people. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. How are you doing? This is another episode of This Dev Life, and I have joining me again. Well, if you've watched the previous episode, you know who he is already. You know he's really super duper cool. He will tell you the fact as it is. He's a cool person. I can say that over and over again a million times. He's an M365 developer. If you watch the previous episode, you will probably know why I'm saying M365 now, not SharePoint. So if you missed that episode, go back, listen to it and watch it, or you can subscribe and go back and get all the nice links. Of course, I'll still drop all those links in the description.
Are you a software developer or engineer? Do you want to provide feedback on products created for developers? User Interviews is looking for quality participants to sign up for user studies. This is a great opportunity to help shape the future of software development. Your feedback will help developers create better products that meet your needs. You also get to earn money while doing so. What are you waiting for? Sign up today and help make a difference in the software development community. Head on to zen.ai/thedevlife to get started. That is zen.ai/thedevlife to get started. If you're signing up directly on the website, remember to use the coupon code This Dev Life, that is THISDEVLIFE. The link will also be provided in the show notes for you.
Of the show. So be sure to check them out to hear all about getting started with M365 development. Well, I'll probably title it SharePoint, but we'll see how that goes. But of course, on this episode, we'll have Alistair joining us from South Africa to talk about his journey into the technology industry, which is probably before many of the folks who are listening to me are born. Well, if you're older than maybe 25, maybe not. But of course, I'm not saying he's old, okay? But he's way more experienced than most of the listeners I know I have on the show. So, Alistair, welcome to the show once again.
Dora, it's great to be here again. I am that old, and that's... I don't know if it's an actual problem, if I have to worry about it, or if it's just going to be everyone that looks at... Well, I am old. Let's just leave it at that. I'm not that old, but I'm not that young. And for my sins, I've definitely been pulled through. You know, I don't know. I've got the scars, right? So that you kids don't have to worry about those things. And generally, if you speak to any of the SharePoint people that are now no longer SharePoint people, they're M365 people, they'll tell you the same thing, right? Because we were used as guinea pigs by Microsoft to go, hey, what do you think? Is this cool? Yeah, that's cool. No, that's not cool. Well, we'll only fix it in a year because they don't do updates every 3 weeks like you have now. You'd have to wait, right, and wait. And products were released every 3 years, but we'll talk about that. That in a bit. Yeah. Well, welcome to Dora's show. This is what? I keep forgetting that, right? That's how old I am. This Dev Life. I'm coming to you live from This Dev Life. And my name's Alistair Pugin. I'm an Azure and Office Apps and Services MVP. I've been an MVP for, I think, seven years. Yeah.
No, that's a very long time.
Yeah. And where did I start? What happened? I was like you a long, long time ago. It's when I used my Rhodesian voice. So Rhodesia was before they called it Zimbabwe, right? Back in my days in Rhodesia. I'm not from Rhodesia. It resonates with South Africans because they understand that sort of accent. It's like, who was he? Leonardo DiCaprio in Blood Diamond, that movie where he had a Zimbabwean accent and all the Zimbabweans laughed at him, right? Because he sounded more South African than Zimbabwe, right? I actually started off as a COBOL developer. I was a programmer, right? And I was back in the 90s. Oh, and wow. I got a COBOL developer. I couldn't get employment, and a friend of mine brought the newspaper to me, and he said, hey, they're looking for a salesperson at a computer wholesale company. And that was it. I interviewed for the position. My resume, my CV said, I like ambient music, and the IT manager at the time had no idea what ambient music was, and that's how I got the job, right? Because there was a bunch of people being interviewed, but mine, they're like, who's this? What does ambient music mean? Let's hire that guy. I don't know about it. Let's hire him, right? Because we want him to come back and we're going to ask him, what is ambient music? And then I fell in love with hardware, right? Because we were a computer wholesale company. So all the bleeding edge tech was coming into the building. I started gaming, and that's what got me into this world. And you move from hardware, if you're lucky, you move from hardware into managing applications sitting on top of hardware. So Active Directory, AD Exchange, System Center, all of those things, right? Everyone needs a domain controller in the building, and everyone needs mail, and everyone needs security on top of that, and you need to do desktop management. And people need operating systems deployed onto servers so that they can install applications on top of it. That's what I did. And then in 2000, 2001, I was doing infrastructure management or application management, whatever you want to call it today, where you worry about Active Directory and Exchange and System Center and ISA and all of those things. Well, you worry about those things. And then they said, well, we've got this application that does document management. Would you like to learn about that? And that's how I got into SharePoint, right? Because that's where it started. And I moved into the application side, not just we used to call them the Wintel team, right? Windows and Intel. You worry about the tin and you worry about the operating system on top of the tin. And then once that's running, you hand over to these app dev people, right? And they deploy applications, and they deploy web servers, and they deploy database servers, and it's running there, and it's doing stuff. And we never worry about it. We just say, well, it's not the infrastructure fault. It's your application.
It's a content as well.
Right? That's exactly what it was, right? It was never our fault. Your application doesn't work, right? Meanwhile, someone pulled out a network cable. Or it's DNS, right? Because it's always DNS.
Always DNS.
Always DNS, right? That's the current status quo. It's always DNS. And then I got into the Microsoft world, right? And I've been stuck there ever since, right? I can't seem to get away from it. And the world's changed from on-prem to the cloud. What Azure was, when we did the Azure Bootcamp, these cool swag, right? I mean, look at that.
Oh, la la.
Yeah. And I think it was in 2008, a good friend of mine, Zlatan Zinic, a Bosnian Serb living in South Africa at the time. He's currently working for Amazon. He's one of the head of architecture at Amazon Studios. And he said, hey, there's this thing called SharePoint Saturday. And we've got some international speakers coming out for the local Microsoft conference. They asked us if we could have a SharePoint Saturday. I said, well, what is SharePoint Saturday? Oh, it's a community event. It runs on a Saturday. Obviously, it's in the name.
And, SharePoint.
And we invite people to come attend this free conference, right? Free conference. It's like, what, you can go to a conference and you don't have to pay?
For free?
Wow. Yeah, and they feed you and there's some cool swag. And the first SharePoint Saturday we had in South Africa was in Cape Town, and there was – I think there were 20 attendees, 15 attend. No, there was 15 attendees, three speakers, and four boxes of pizza, and that's where it started for me. And I got to meet all these cool, like-minded individuals interested in technology and interested in sharing what they've done with technology. And that was back in 2008. And Zlatan left South Africa at the end of 2009, I think, and then I started running the local user group. In 2010, the Information Worker User Group in Cape Town. And that's what we did, right? Second Tuesday of every month, and it's still the same thing in South Africa, usually the second Tuesday of every month. In the old days, we'd be able to physically go to a location. Microsoft would provide food. You'd go to the Microsoft offices. They'd give you food. You get a couple of speakers to come share their passion for technology. Hey, look, I built this cool thing. Or I want to help you, give you top 10 tips for migrating to the latest version of SharePoint. And that's what we did, really. And community is where it's at, right? And you've got to have a passion for it. You know, people come up to me and they say, hey, what do I need to do? Hold on 2 seconds. Good thing this is not live, right? I mean, can I walk away from
No, it's not live.
Is it live? Are you going to have me walking away?
No. I'm going to have to cut it out.
No, but I want you to have it there. This is a vape friendly show.
Okay. So alrighty.
You got to keep it in there, man. It's like, this is not pre-recorded. And we used to have a SharePoint Saturday once a year, right? And we did it in three different cities, Cape Town, Johannesburg, Durban. And community, that the Microsoft community is, or well, the SharePoint, the M365 community is unlike any other community I've ever met. Everyone's interested and they're willing to help. And we, the M365 community currently is run by a few of us, myself, Tracy van der Skaef, Rod Modlin, Mikey, I can never remember Mikey's surname, Olaf, I can't pronounce his surname, Nicholas Blank and a few others, Matthew Levi. And it's the same thing, right? People are eager to learn. And on the previous podcast, we were talking about getting people interested in developing applications for Microsoft 365. And it starts with community, right? We talk about, there's a, I think it's a Khoza Zulu word in South Africa called Ubuntu. You know, everyone thinks it's a Linux operating system, right? That's what I know. It's Mark Shuttle with Canoquial or whatever his company was. It's a Linux distro. That's what Ubuntu, but it's not. Ubuntu is a word. It's a Zulu or Khoza word. And it's not a word. It's an ethos, right? I am who I am because of who we all are, right? And it embodies the spirit of community, right? Because that's what it's about. It's about helping people, helping your community grow. And exactly. I've got a passion for this because it's about that. I think my excitement is, and I remember it like it was yesterday, I think it was 2011. And that year we had four people who've never presented to a crowd before in their entire lives show up and do a session at the information worker community. I was just so excited about that, you know, because we're helping people go from, I'm a SharePoint administrator, but I want to be a SharePoint consultant and I'm going to need to present, right? Because someone's going, can you show me this? And I need to present to a bunch of people. And we provided a platform for them to show up and talk to their friends, right, before they go talk to customers. And that, for me, is my buzz, right, helping people grow, people. And was it 2018, 2019? When was COVID? COVID started in 2019, right?
End of 2019.
Yeah. In 2020, it would have been the beginning of 2019, end of 2018. What is it? 2021 now. What is it? We're 2021 now, right?
Yeah, this 2021.
Okay. Then, yeah, the beginning of 2020. Was last year. Beginning of 20. Yeah. End of 2019. Yeah. The beginning of 2019. We actually, and I'll drop you a link for it. We made a documentary about the meaning of community, and I'll send you the link. And that's what's helped me grow and what's gotten me to where I am today. And I didn't start with, hey, I want to become an MVP. I got excited because we got to do these conferences, meet people, help people grow, right? And that was the exciting part for me. And because of being passionate about the community, being passionate about sharing my thoughts, opinions, views on technology, that's how I became an MVP. It's because of that. I'm an MVP, but I don't do what I do because I want to. If there was no MVP status or MVP badge or, you know, that little slider that they send you to go onto your trophy, right, your whatever you want to call it, the award, it wouldn't matter to me because it's about community, right? It's about helping people grow. You know, you go there, there will be people that will help you grow and you can then pay it forward by helping other people grow. And that for me is what set the tone for my entire career. My entire career has been based on that principle, help people. And that's where it's at for me right now. What am I doing today? I'm the CTO of a consulting services firm called NB Consult. A good friend of mine, Nicholas Blank, he's an exchange MCN and he's a 15-year MVP veteran, you know, and we both share an excitement for technology and helping people use technology better, right? Because that's what it is. And Yes, I still do a bit of ECM, enterprise content management, because that's what you're buying. You're buying Microsoft calls it content services today instead of ECM, because AIM and Gartner got together 4 years ago and they decided that ECM was no longer a thing. You know, I think I wrote a post about the death of ECM, long live ECM, right? And I spend a fair amount of time now in the security, compliance, and identity space. Because that's what's fun for me now. I help customers deploy zero trust security frameworks, understanding what cloud is really, you know, because cloud's massive. You know, M365 is one of the three clouds you get from Microsoft, right? And if you look at the education poster, the certification poster, they've actually got four pillars: Azure, Microsoft 365, Dynamics, and Power Platform. That's the split. You know, everything still runs on top of Azure, but when I look at Microsoft, they've got three distinctive clouds: Azure, M365, and D365. And they're getting somewhere with the Power Platform stuff, which I'm really excited about, because they've taken citizen development to a new level. But my suggestions, recommendations for people starting out in the industry, right? You go and you get an education. And then you go get it. Well, you get a secondary education, you finish school, and then you go do some sort of degree or some form of qualification, diploma, certificate in IT, right? Whatever that is. And then from there, you either get a job as a help desk consultant, a support engineer, and then you move through the ranks. Let's call it ranks, right? Yeah. And you go into consulting and you go into architecture and so on. So start at the bottom, right? Get to know, become a generalist, right? I used to have a blog called The ECM Ninja, right? And why I decided on the ninja concept is that ninja can probably do between five and seven different forms of kung fu, right? Jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, you know, normal karate and all of those things, right? But they have a specialist weapon, or a weapon that they're really good at with, right? So nunchuk, shuriken, samurai sword, they're really good. So in IT, you need to be a generalist with a specific focus area. Because when you look at cloud computing in general, right, they all talk to each other. I mean, there's a lot of customers out there that will go, hey, we're in the cloud, we've got an M365 tenant. They have no idea that there's a whole bunch of things happening inside of Azure. Right? They don't know that if they type in portal.azure.com and log in with their credentials, they'll see things. There's a lot of customers out there that don't get that. That all of a sudden there's another portal with a subscription that's been created that's running there. Well, the subscription's not there, but they've got an entire world there, right? And understand what is available when we talk about cloud computing, because you're going to build a virtual data center. In the old days, it would be on-prem, right? Raised floor, aircon, chassis, and you slide servers into the racks, right? In today's world, kids like you, you don't even know what a server room looks like, man. I mean, I do.
But I can bet, I think I've only been in a server room 3 times in my entire life. So that's how young I am.
In my days, you wanted to go do stuff that you'd literally go live in the server room. That's where you deployed things, right? You take a USB stick in with you, an external hard drive, the application's on there, or you download it off the internet, you log into the console, and you got a little KVM switch because it's connected to this server. Click, click, click at server number 4, you log in. Now, today's world, nobody knows about that anymore. Kids nowadays, oh no, well, we sit where we sit. I've got fiber to the home and
5,000.
What is a server, right? Like, well, think about it realistically today. You build a microservice, right? Or you stick something in a container. If you're not a DevOps engineer, right? Do you care about Kubernetes? You're an app dev guy, right? Yeah, well, you care about orchestration and CI/CD, right? That's what you care, merging branches and pull requests and things like that. But you don't care about the compute on the back end, right? You literally don't. Mm-hmm. Can it scale? Can my app scale? Okay, yeah. Why can it scale? Because I've got some elastic, I've got some pools there with elasticity. And when I hit 80% utilization on HTTP requests, it's going to add another pod, right? Today's developers don't care about IOPS. What does that even mean, man? What is IOPS? Nobody knows. Nobody cares, right? Because the thing just works, right? As well,
it just auto scales.
It literally, dude. Look, don't dev on your own PC. That still doesn't work, right? Because whenever you deploy it, it's not going to work on someone else's PC, right? Because but it worked on my PC. It still doesn't work on your PC, right? That concept doesn't work. There are dependencies that you need. So when they build your dev environment in the cloud, work there. Stick your code into a proper repo and work that way and do merging and PRs and those, you know, dialect of English that I don't quite understand that you young kids do, right? But get involved in the community. I think it's vitally important. Reach out, you know, ping. And it's not just the Microsoft community. There's a big AWS community, and there's always some form of community. Go to these events or virtual events that they currently have. There's always something happen. Go to meetup.com. Just go to meetup.com. You want to find a community, head to meetup.com. And select your location, and I think you get to tag what you're interested in. It'll bring back a whole bunch of meetups. And most, if not all of them currently is virtual. So you don't even have to physically leave your room. You can literally consume it there. So I've been fortunate that I've gone through all of these things. I started off as a developer. I got into infrastructure, so I understand compute, right? My kids, currently, they're gamers, and I can have a conversation with them about anti-aliasing, anisotropic filtering, and what your GPU is doing, right? But I got into hardware to understand that, and it's purely by luck. It's not like I had this divine plan that my dad came up with, and he said, go do these things, right? I never had that. Pure luck. And then I got into applications. What does it take to run an application? What is a web server? I mean, today, nobody cares about what a web server is. I SAPI filters and caching. Who cares, right? Oh, you want caching? Oh, Cloudflare. Boom. Connect your app. No, seriously, it's that easy, right? Free account, Cloudflare. Mm-hmm. Boom. Instant speed. You want a CDN, you can use Cloudflare or any of the other CDNs out there, right? Boom. I can put stuff there. I can drop an image there. My CDN is spectacular, right? Done. So the world has made it much easier for people to get into technology, right?
Definitely.
It is easier, but I strongly encourage you to get a core fundamental understanding of what IT is. Go and go get a Udemy subscription or a Plural site subscription and go educate yourself that way. If you can't afford going to a university or to a fancy college, get your folks, or if you have a part-time job and you want to study, go have a look at platforms like Pluralsight and Udemy. More so Pluralsight. I prefer Pluralsight to Udemy. And it's a monthly subscription, and I think there's a student discount. And go watch these videos.
There's this Microsoft partnership and Google partnership with them that actually makes it free, I think, up until 2024, I think, if you get that, the right link.
And go do that. And then find the community and attend these things. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. There's no such thing as a stupid question, right? I mean, we encourage everyone to participate. And if you come up with a cool idea, ask whoever runs your community, hey, I just built this cool app, and I'd love to hear everyone's opinions. Can I demo it? Can I talk about it? Can I show you what it looks like? And go present at your local community group. And there's so many tools available to you as a person to do this. It's available to you. YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world. I encourage you to use YouTube, and that's how you stay up to date with what's going on. And it's something that whenever we're talking to organizations, we always encourage them to, when it comes to user adoption, the big thing is you have to change the way you learn. It's not coming out of you can read a textbook once, right? And then you can write an exam and you qualified. You need to move out of this cyclical learning into a continuous learning frame of mind, mm-hmm. or mindset. because things change daily. Updates come out daily. Microsoft changes their exams every 3 months. Mm-hmm. So you have to adopt a culture of continuous learning to stay up to date with what's happening. It's not in the old days when Microsoft or whoever else would release a product and they that's a 3-year release cycle, right? Because that's what it was, 3 years, right? So you could, hey, there's a new version of SharePoint, or there's a new version of SQL. And you could go and you could go SWAT, buy the MS Press book or buy the A-Press book or buy the O'Reilly book, study that, get to grips with the technology, write the certification, and then you're good for 3-4 years. The world doesn't work like that anymore. New exams get added every quarter.
All the time.
So, and what's nice about community is they've always got people coming in and it's free. The biggest thing is that's free, right? And you build your network that way as well. And something I used to do a session called Personal Branding and You, right? So how do you grow your brand? I mean, you've got a podcast, you know what it's like. You know, earlier on we talked about kit, right? Which was great. Oh, I want to buy this, send me the shopping list. I need this light and that, right? Because we understand the concept of a personal brand, but it's really, really about building your personal brand. And why do you want to do that? Well, one, you're not attached to a company, right? So a good friend of mine, I've known him for more than a decade. He worked for a large software company, well, an ISV or an SI, you know, systems integrator. And he was there 8 years. Phenomenal skills, right? Like ridiculous skills. Yeah. I rate him top 10 in my world, right? Globally. But people inside of that SI knew where he was. And the minute he moved, nobody knew where he was.
Mm.
So build a brand, you know, register your name as a domain name. Go do that, right? I mean, what is your one? Yeah, you've got it. That's what you've done, right? You registered a domain name. You've got a cool logo with the D and the O. Very, very cool. And you now have your own identity, right? So it doesn't matter who you work for. You will still maintain that identity. And it makes you very attractive to organizations because you have an identity. It's so easy to start a podcast, start a vlog, start a blog. You can go to medium.com and you can create a blog within minutes, right? Minutes, literally minutes. You don't have to host your own web server. You don't have to do that. You don't have to pay for that. Medium's free, right? Start getting content out there that you're interested in. Write. Don't be afraid to write, you know? And build your own personal brand. Get onto the socials, you know, publish you wrote it's an opinion piece about where you think security is in the Microsoft world, or just what you do every day. A day in the life of, write about that. Stick it on Medium, get onto Twitter, push it on Twitter, find someone like me or Dara to retweet, right? Go do that, right? I mean, Dara's got, 4,500 followers on Twitter. You're regarded as a micro-influencer.
Really? I don't even know that.
You are, I think, over 4,000 followers on any platform, be it Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. I think so. The numbers might have changed, right? But you regard it as a micro-influencer. But you have a brand, and it's important for people to understand that, right? You come out of tertiary education, and you've got a degree in you've got a Bachelor of Science, right? Or you have a Bachelor in IT, whatever they're calling it. Or you did a 3-year diploma or a certificate at a college, right? And you get into engineering, support, that sort of thing to get a feel for things, a lay of the land. But go build an online presence for yourself. Put that page up, name.surname. Chances are, nobody has your name and surname. Although there are some commons, I mean, and I don't think there's another Alistair Pugin or a Dara. Hola Dapo. Did I pronounce your surname right?
Almost got it right.
Almost right, yeah. So go do that and get your brand out there. Participate in online events, right? Communicate with people on Twitter, and LinkedIn. Those are the two platforms, really. I mean, unless you're going to do a TikTok video and smash it through as an IG reel or something, and you're going to get followers on Snapchat. I don't know what works today. Discord, get onto Discord. I don't know if there's communities. Discord is it's the IRC of today, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, I think most folks in my circles do Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
Maybe Twitch and YouTube, right?
Yeah, Twitch and YouTube. Yeah.
So go do that and build your own personal brand. And I guarantee you, you know, a lot of people come to me, how do you get into technology? And when we talked about how to get into M365 development on the previous show, go build a brand. Even before you start doing that, let's put a page up. I mean, you've got a page up there. It's your blog. Where does your blog go?
That's still on the website. Just blog.darolalako.com.
Yeah. So you host this yourself though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What is it? Ah, it's WordPress.
Yep.
All right. So you've got a full all-in-one WordPress thing, right? You don't have to go WordPress, people. You can literally go download a one-page HTML and smash it up, right? Cost you nothing. Definitely. Or go to medium.com and do it there, right? There's so many platforms out there to do it, right? Get your name out there and show up at community events. Participate. You know, get involved as a volunteer for a boot camp. We did that with the Azure Boot Camp, this one, Azure Boot Camp 2021 in South Africa. We had a whole bunch of volunteers getting involved, helping speakers, doing tech checks, making sure that the branding goes out, that the stream actually continues, moderating questions. And they got a feel for what it's like, right? Because they were in the backstage looking at StreamYard, making sure that the stream's still live, that it had lower thirds going in, who the presenter was, all of that. And it was great. Great. And the cool thing about it is you get swag, right? Look at this. There's an officer in hoodie, you know, because we all love swag, right? Mm-hmm. And people will start asking you to speak at events. Oh, man. when it was in-person events, Microsoft used to get us to speak at Microsoft Ignite in Florida. They'd fly you there, put you in a hotel. You'd go hang out with 30,000 other people. You go to booths, get cool swag, T-shirts, hoodies, caps. What else did I get? Stickers. Stickers are all the rage, right? You got a sticker bomb your notebook. And that's how you do it, right? Go build a brand. Mm-hmm. Build your own brand. And run with that. Because people are going to want to know who you are. The company that when you get interviewed is going to want to associate with you because you have a brand. And they're going to want to hire you because you have a brand, because they believe there's professionality and credibility with your brand. They see you as a go-getter, right? You're not afraid to get in front of the world and tell your story. And if you don't like the company, you can move and your brand stays with you.
Definitely.
What else, young man? What else, Dora?
Those are really very much loads of wisdom. Those are lots of wisdom. I think the points that stood out, which I think I would write through it, is just get started. Don't be afraid to start. Also, get involved in the community. Community is a lot. It will help you a lot. It will literally push you literally more than 5 times faster than you normally would go on your own. It will push you faster, put you in front of people. It might even get you those job opportunities you're looking for. Maybe there's a career fair at a conference you're going for. Who knows? That might be that next issue you're going for. And also, put an identity online for yourself. You want to be known as a brand. And I think also share with others. Let others grow from you also. Share your knowledge. It's not stupid to just put, I'm learning how to do XYZ today. Put it out there. It might look elementary for you, learning the stuff, but just put it out there anyways. You never know who would learn from it and actually come back to thank you tomorrow. That's even if they come back today. Or they might even pay it forward to someone else. And I think that is where the industry and the community goes from all over. I can remember when I started taking programming seriously, literally a guy in my university that was like, come to my hostel on a Saturday. Dara, we're going to SCG building. Come here with me. Let's go to Azure. Let's go to C#. That was literally how I got started. And we've spread that across Nigeria today, we have lots of communities, Azure, 365, Power BI, all running, and then everything is just fun today. People have gotten jobs, moved countries, made a living literally out of being part of a community. Community is just all of it. Technology is community.
But it's exactly that, right? It was so funny. I was chatting to a customer, was it last week or the end of the week before? And you never know who's in the audience, right? You literally don't know. And the customer said to me, I watched your session on Azure Purview, right? Like, what, last 2 weeks ago? He goes, yeah, he was at that session. I've walked into customers, and I did a session on Teams at the last Ignite in South Africa, right before COVID. I think that was the end of Jan 2019. And I had a customer say he was at my session around Teams, right? So go do that. You never know who's watching or who's listening. So go do your stuff. And like you say, press record, get the content out there. Go build your brand. And if you're passionate about it, I suppose, what do they say? Good. People are attracted to passion, right? When people ask me, what is it that you do? I say, I get people excited about technology. Why? Because I'm excited about technology, right? That's it. That's what I do. And if you can get people excited about technology, they're going to buy into you and tell a story, become relatable. And that's the important part. Be relatable. It's not scripted. Don't read from a teleprompter. Don't do that. People want to know who you are because they want to relate to you. Go do that.
That's it. That's it, people. You heard it from Alistair, our very good friend, sharing his knowledge and his experience coming to the tech industry, starting from COBOL. I probably can almost bet most of my listeners weren't born before COBOL. But of course, we see how cool he is, how he relates to our generation in the tech industry, and he shared a lot of wisdom. If you missed any point in where he was sharing his experience, you can literally go rewind, listen again, share with friends, share with family. And of course, if you have any questions for him, for me, literally for anyone in the tech industry, just reach out. Twitter, Instagram, Google us on Bing, as Scott Hansma would say it, and ask your questions. If any of us do not have the answers, we definitely get someone who knows the answer to get in touch with you and answer those questions. It might be literally a question getting into tech, a bug you're facing, an experience you're having. And that is how we literally just grow every single day. We've heard it from Alistair, as you've heard from all of the guests that have been coming on the show. And of course, many guests who come on the show, we've interviewed quite a lot of them. And to get updates, of course, on the podcast, like, subscribe, follow, the usual stuff. You know what to do. Hit a like button, leave a comment, share with friends and family. All those nice little bitty things all around subscribing. But of course, most importantly, do not stop learning. And I'll drop links to follow Alistair in the show notes, so you can be sure to follow him and learn more also from him. And that's it on this episode, people. Till I come your way again, all I said, people, stay safe and goodbye.
Ciao, ciao.